Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
This is the book of Exodus chapter 23, reads as follows. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor man in his lawsuit. If you can't come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. If you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, do not leave it there. Be sure you help him with it. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. Have nothing to do with a false charge, and do not put an innocent or honest person to death, for I will not acquit the guilty. Do not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds those who see the twists, the words of the righteous. Do not oppress an alien. You yourselves know how it feels to be aliens, because you were aliens in Egypt. For 6 years you are to sow fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have said to you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. 3 times a year you are to celebrate a festive to me, or festival to me. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, as I commanded you. Do this at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in the month you came out of Egypt, no one is to appear before me empty-handed. Celebrate the feast of harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anyone or anything containing yeast. The last, I beg your pardon, I think I've... Okay, let's try again. Celebrate the Feast of Harvest with the first fruits of the crops you sow in your field. Celebrate the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in your crops from the field. 3 times a year, all the men are to appear before the Sovereign Lord. Do not offer the blood of a sacrifice to me along with anything containing yeast. The fat of any of my festival offerings must not be kept until morning. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you and bring you into the land of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hevites, the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. Do not bow down before their gods or worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces. Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you, and none will miscarry, my goodness, or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. I will send my terror ahead of you and throw into confusion every nation you encounter. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. I will send the hornet ahead of you to drive the Hevites, Canaanites, the Hittites out of your way. But I will not drive them out in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. I will establish your borders from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the deserts to the river. I will hand over to you the people who live in the land, and you will drive them out before you. Do not make a covenant with them or with their gods. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. The Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever. Amen. Your comments, Mfundisi.
Wow, this is a long.
Indeed. Indeed.
This is a long. To begin with, we need to appreciate the fact that this is barely 3 months from the time these guys have left Egypt.
Right.
And God is giving them instructions on how to live among themselves.
Right.
And how they are supposed to interact with people outside the community of Israel.
Yeah.
So the interesting aspects deal with their obligations to their neighbors.
Right.
How you are supposed to relate with your fellow human being. I think this is what comes out quite clearly. They are saying you should not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Right.
When you have been called to stand and speak as a witness.
Right.
Whatever you are going to say has an impact or a bearing on the person you are either speaking against or you are speaking for.
Right.
Your words could free someone, or your words can entangle someone.
Yeah.
So to the best of your knowledge, we are reminded to say, as you, whether it is in the earthly courts or in mere conversations and things like that,
right,
when you must have the integrity of having the right speech,
right,
as you relate to others.
Okay. Are you still there, Mfundisi?
Yes, I am. Okay. You will pardon me. Where I am, I practically just packed.
I am
going for a campaign somewhere very, very far.
Okay. Let me jump into a few questions for this before we run out of time. God appears to be saying something that bothered me a bit when I was reading this, and I'm sure you heard me exclaim there. When God speaks about miscarriage, it seems as though God is the one who engineers miscarriages in women. Did I understand?
Yes,
that
you, well? you read it right. He says when you do these things,
right,
you know, when you uphold this, I will make sure that you do not miscarry.
Yes.
So we will need to look. You know, when you are talking of miscarrying, there are a lot of factors.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of factors that causes that, ranging from stress, and many other things. But here, God is dealing with, he's giving them promises to say, when you will do the things I'm telling you, I think he repeats actually, not only miscarrying, but also diseases.
Yeah. And barrenness.
Barrenness. He says, if you do this, you know, if you listen to my instructions and do this, I will not do this.
Right.
So now your question is, is God responsible for people miscarrying and things like that? Ultimately, when it comes to life, God allows life to come and God allows life to, you know, to go. It is within his prerogative of being God.
Right.
You know, making those tough calls. Which should not be an easy. But then I am looking at it on the aspect that God is trying to encourage them, because this is a small population,
right,
that has come out of Egypt, and they, where they are going, they're supposed to establish a nation.
Right.
So if the nation is to grow, the women must be very fruitful.
Right.
You know, the women must be very fruitful, and if they are miscarrying, by virtue of the circumstances in which they are in, you know, they are living in the desert, they do not have all the facilities that they need to sustain a pregnancy and things like that.
Right.
But God is saying, if you will do this, I will, like, you know, I will see to it that your women surely delivers.
Right. So let's get into that, because I thought that would be something that is poo-poo, but now it seems as though it is not. So let's get into it. The first prominent woman that was barren was Sarah, the mother of the faithful, the wife to Abraham, the father of the faithful.
Yes.
So what wrong did she do? What is it that she did for her to be barren?
Probably there's nothing that she had done.
Did she disobey God? Because here, verse 25, and I want to read verse 25 again so people understand exactly where my question is based. Verse 25 of the book of Exodus chapter 23 reads, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you." And verse 26, "None will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan." My question is, why was Sarah barren? Because according to this, it suggests that she did not obey the will of the Lord.
Okay, so that one was done so that the name of the Lord actually may be glorified. The situation for Sarah, it meant that that which seemed to be impossible with God is possible, because God promised them that you're going to have a child. You know, until when such a time when it was almost impossible, but still he reiterated. Actually,
but he said that already when they were old, Mfundis.
Yes.
Abraham was 99 at the time, isn't it?
75. When he first promised them. But then it took, you know, 25 more years.
Let's talk about 75. Let's say it was 75, Mfundis. Between the age of 18 up until the age of 75, they could not fall pregnant. Why?
Unfortunately.
Why?
So the reason could be God wanted to glorify, to have his name glorified in their situation.
By making them barren. So it was not because they had violated Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 and 26.
No. It's not that they had done anything wrong. But God denied them. You know, he denied them the time when they wanted to, until when it was his time to allow them to have a child.
Okay. What about the daughter-in-law of Sarah? So Abraham goes ahead to have a son named Isaac, and Isaac is given Rebecca as a wife. Rebecca was also barren. What was wrong there?
It's again the similar thing, where God wants to show you that he's the one in charge of this thing. And in the story of Sarah, you'll be interested to note that the entire nation of people from Negev, when Abimelech I mean, when the king, was it Abimelech, wanted to sleep with Sarah?
Yes.
Immediately that incident happened, all the women
became barren.
Became barren because of Sarah.
Yeah.
Until God loosed them again.
Remember, so, with Abimelech, it was because he did not know that Sarah was married. It's a different situation altogether.
It was not that he was, it was intentional on his part.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's move on. So let's go back to Rebecca Mfunis. Why was Rebecca barren? Did she disobey God?
No. Again, she's also coming from a different, territory. And
same territory that Sarah and Abraham came from, Funis.
Mm-hmm, and these are idolaters. They don't worship God,
Okay.
And then God, in his own infinite wisdom,
okay,
denies her also.
Because of idolatry.
Until at a time. And then, that's when he releases her.
That's my problem. I have a bit of problem with that notion, Funus, of that because they were idolaters. Because Abraham married his sister Sarah, and which means that they were children to idolaters. Mm-hmm. Idolaters had children named Abraham and Sarah.
Exactly.
These very same idolaters, Abraham's Abraham's cousin had children, and those children were Laban and Rebecca. Mm-hmm. That's where they have their.
He instructs them to say, "Go and marry from there."
Absolutely. So the idolaters did not fall barren; they had children. My question is: if the idolaters in the Ur of the Chaldeans had children, why did these two women, Sarah and Rebecca, now have no children? We see even the daughter of Laban, Rachel, had problems conceiving. Why was she barren? Was it because she was an idolator too, even though her father had children?
God actually had shut the womb for her.
The question is why?
God was saying that, this one is loved more than the other. So actually, Leah, the womb is opened because she's not loved. But this one is loved by the husband, so the womb is shut. Until at a time when God says, okay, fine now, the womb can now produce.
Let's move on to Hannah. There's the story of Hannah and Peninnah. Why was Hannah barren?
Again, the same pattern.
Which
Hannah
is
loved, Peninnah.
Yes.
So it was like, I don't know whether God was trying to strike a balance.
Right. Right.
Whereby this one, if this one is loved.
Yeah.
And then this one also has children, then the other one will be completely, will be completely obscure.
Right.
But then maybe in terms of trying to strike a balance, this one's womb is shut.
Right.
And God does things in his own way, because he could cause the snakes to bite people and people die.
Right.
Okay. Strange behavior.
Okay, let's move on quickly to Manoah's wife. She is not named in the Bible, but the husband is named Manoah. They had a son after a long stint of barrenness. Why was Manoah's wife barren? Mother to Samson.
Mm-hmm.
Why was she barren? What did she do anything wrong? Was she an idolater?
These others, we really have no information. We can even add Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And we can add Elizabeth.
Indeed.
These were pious people.
And what about Michal, the first wife to David? What was her issue? Was she an idolater as well? Because she was the daughter to Saul, and Saul is known to have been picked by God, handpicked by God. What was Michal's issue? Say that again, Punis.
I'm saying to be the first king of
Absolutely.
Israel.
Absolutely. Mm. So why was she barren? Because she never, there's never a time where God says, okay, enough now, Michal, you're going to have a baby. Never. She died barren.
So from all these statements, God is taking responsibility. He is saying, when you do this, I will make sure that no one among you is barren.
Right.
And in Psalms, it should be 133, David says children are a gift from God. And when God is dispensing those gifts,
right,
he does that at his own discretion.
Okay. All right.
You know, we have had situations, I have situations, where some people were clinically, you know, told that they were barren.
Right.
And we prayed, and as we speak,
okay,
they have children.
Okay.
But they were clinically tested.
Right, right.
So, you know, it's all the prerogative of God.
He
shuts and opens at his own will.
Okay. All right.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.